The reading is from Acts chapter 8, verses 26 to 40, and can be found on page 1101 of the Bibles. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road, that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. This man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot, reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. The Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you are reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. The eunuch was reading this passage of scripture. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before the shearer is silent, so he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." The eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about, himself or someone else?" Then Philip began with that very passage of scripture and told him the good news about Jesus. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" And he gave orders to stop the chariot. Then both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. When they came up and out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord suddenly took Philip away, and the eunuch did not see him again, but went on rejoicing. Philip, however, appeared in Azotus and travelled about, preaching the gospel in all the towns until he reached Caesarea. This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Well, let's pray. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we pray, please, that you would teach us, you would speak to us, you would shape us and change us as we come to your word. Father, please, by your Spirit, would you be at work in each one of us as we look at your word together. Amen. Well, as we look through this passage in Acts chapter 8, page 1101, you'll notice that we're going to build up a sentence to understand what this passage is all about. So Pathfinders on your sheet, or if you've got a sheet and you're not a Pathfinder, that's fine. If you're using the sheet, you'll see as we work through, you'll fill in the sentence as we go through the sheet. First word of that sentence is this: excluded. I wonder if you've ever felt excluded. It's a horrible thing, isn't it? No one likes to feel excluded. When you aren't in the group, when you haven't been invited to the party, when others know things you don't, it's a horrible feeling, isn't it? When you feel excluded. Well, we need to see that there is something incredible that God has done for you so that in the most significant way possible, you don't need to be excluded. God has done something incredible, so you don't have to be excluded. And we're going to see what that is. Now, we see in Acts chapter 8, someone who would have felt very excluded. We see this Ethiopian eunuch. We're told about him in verse 26 and 27, that he's an important official in charge of the treasury of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians. So he is a very, very significant person. Very high-ranking job. And he's gone to Jerusalem to worship. He clearly worships the Lord. And he's going to Jerusalem to worship. But as he went to Jerusalem, he would have felt very out of place. He would have felt different because he was a foreigner. And as we know, Ethiopians, just by the look of them, they got much darker skin. And so by walking around in Jerusalem, he probably would have felt different. And being a foreigner When it came to coming to the temple, which was the centre of worship, he wouldn't have been able to get very far into the temple if he was just a foreigner. Being a foreigner meant you could get in a bit, but not very far. But actually, this Ethiopian wouldn't have even got that far. Because not only was he a foreigner, we're told, he was a eunuch. And eunuchs weren't allowed in the temple at all. He would have been a bit like a football fan going to the city where the football match is taking place without tickets for the match. They can go, they can enjoy the fun, they can enjoy the celebration, but they can't go into the match. That's what this guy would have been like, going to Jerusalem to worship, but he couldn't go into the temple. He was only there really for the atmosphere to worship God, but he could only do it at a distance, excluded from the celebrations, from worshiping God at the temple. And we need to ask, living in the age that we do, was it right that he was excluded? After all, we live in a time where, if anyone is excluded from anything, we get shocked. We consider equal opportunities are the ultimate thing. You've got to give everyone equal opportunities. And if there are barriers in your way, you've just got to blast through them. I mean, you see it in all sorts of ways. Even at Young Voices this last year, one of the songs that they sang, which is called I've Got the Power in Me, I'm not going to sing it, goes, the words go, nobody's going to hold me back, nobody's going to silence my words, nobody's going to close my mind, I've got the power in me. In other words, you're not going to hold me back, nothing's going to hold me back, nothing's going to get in my way, I'm going to blast on through. Imagine if the Ethiopian eunuch had had that kind of attitude. You're not going to get in my way, I'm going to blast through. Or you could think of someone like Nicola Adams, who did well at the Olympics. Did well, that's an understatement, isn't it? Did well. She won gold and did brilliantly. An interviewer asked her how she coped with being in a male-dominated sport, for which she replied in the interview that I saw, I'm the kind of person where if you say I can't do something, you can be sure I'm going to do it. And we have that attitude around us, don't we? That kind of, you say that I can't do something, I'm going to blast through. I'm just going to get through it. And we hold those people up and we say, that's good. Now, when it comes to this Ethiopian eunuch feeling excluded, we need to see, it's not just people who've put these barriers in his way. He is excluded by God. God has said he can't come in. After all, it was an Old Testament law. Here's the Old Testament law in Deuteronomy chapter 23. It says this, no one who's been emasculated by crushing or cutting may enter the assembly of the Lord. That's saying eunuchs can't come in. By the way, if you're a Pathfinder or a younger, you're not sure what a eunuch is, ask your parents. There you go. But this is God saying, you, Ethiopian eunuch, you can't come in. Now, what should his attitude be? Should he have just said, I'm going in anyway. Nobody's going to get in my way. Nicola Adams, you say I can't do it, I'm going to get in there. No, he mustn't do it. Now, this isn't God being prejudiced. Sorry, we're building up our sentence. Pathfinders, here we go, next bit. Excluded by God. Now, this isn't God being prejudiced. This is not just God saying, well, I just don't like other people from other countries. This is not just God saying, oh, I just don't like those who've emasculated them. So, you know, it's not that kind of thing. It's not just God saying, I don't like them. God says these things about who can come in and who can't to protect people. Because, you see, there is a big problem with us coming into the presence of God. Do you remember back in the Old Testament when Moses said to God, God, I want to see you. I want to see your glory. Show me your glory. How does God reply? God says, you cannot see my face, for no one may see me and live. See, to come into the presence of God is a dangerous thing to do. And it is a dangerous thing to do because we are impure and God is pure. God is perfectly good and we are not. Do you see that it's a bit like if you go to the zoo and you go to the lion enclosure, those fences, you want layers of fences. I don't want just one fence. I want layers of fences to protect me from that lion. Because those fences are saying you can't come in. But I'm not going to go into the zoo saying, you're not going to hold me back. I'm going to go in there. Of course you're not. You want those layers there to protect you from that lion. The concentric rings of the temple, the concentric walls of the temple, saying you can't come in, you can't come in, are there to protect people. To say, if you go in, it's going to be dangerous. You're going to die. So stay out. Now, there was encouragement in the Old Testament, even though there were these rules saying you can't come in, and if you're a foreigner, you can't come in, and if you're a eunuch, you really can't come in. There was encouragement in the Old Testament. There was a passage, and we won't turn it up now, but if later on you want to turn up Isaiah 56, you will see that there is a passage there in which the words foreigner and eunuch come up lots of times, and where it's God saying they will be able to come in. They will have a place. But it's just sort of left there as a kind of, yeah, but how? I mean, at the moment, they can't. So how would that happen? Well, this Ethiopian eunuch, he is leaving Jerusalem, and he is in his chariot going along. And Philip is told by God to go to the south road, to go to that chariot and be near it. Now, I like to imagine that the chariot is whizzing along, and Philip, therefore, has to sprint alongside to hear what's going on. Probably wasn't, probably going at walking pace, but just bear with me and go with me in that, that it's speeding along and he's having to run along because it's just a bit more comedy value. So Philip is running along beside the chariot and the Ethiopian is reading from the book of Isaiah. Not Isaiah 56, but earlier on, Isaiah 53. And Philip says, do you know what you're reading? Do you understand what's going on? He said, well, how can I know unless someone explains it to me? And so Philip goes up into the chariot to explain it to him. And the bit from Isaiah 53 that he's reading, if you just look, have a look at verse 32. It is all about a person, isn't it? It's all about a person who is killed in silence, goes away in silence to be killed. It's unjust, verse 33, deprived of justice. But he is killed. And the Ethiopian eunuch saying, what's this about? Is this about the person who wrote it? Is it about Isaiah? Who's it about? And of course, now this is a gift, isn't it? For any evangelist, you come across someone who's reading Isaiah 53 saying, what's this about? If you go into work tomorrow, if you meet up with friends, they happen to be reading Isaiah 53 and they say, what's this about? That couldn't be a better sort of tee-up for saying, right, let me explain the gospel. Because Isaiah 53 is just perfect, isn't it? For explaining what the gospel is all about. So pray for that someone tomorrow, someone you know, be reading Isaiah 53. What would Philip have said? Well, he said it was all about Jesus. This one in Isaiah 53, who was rejected, given no justice, killed. That's Jesus, he said. That's who he's talking about. And he would have gone into the surrounding verses. Oh, sorry, Pathfinders and everyone else. Look up at the screen, okay? We're carrying on. Jesus was excluded by God. Now, I'll show you that, okay, as we go back in Isaiah. But that's the next bit, isn't it? Philip's saying, this person who was killed, that's Jesus. Jesus was excluded by God. Now, just go back. Would you go back with me to Isaiah 53? We need to go back. And so we've got to go back to Isaiah 53. I'll give you a page number in just a moment. Page 740. Oh, you might want to keep a hand in Acts. Never mind, too late. Isaiah 53. Page 740, and it's, he quotes from verses 7 and 8. Now, just as you turn to that, you'll notice that the wording is a bit different in here. That's because the Ethiopian eunuch would have been reading from the Greek version of the Old Testament, because he probably didn't speak Hebrew. So he would have been reading from the Greek version of the Old Testament, whereas what we've got here is a translation from the Hebrew. So that's why there's a bit of a difference in the wording there. But he quotes from verses 7 and 8. But of course, with the book of Isaiah open in front of him, Philip would have taken him to the surrounding verses. And so you've got to see what the context says. Okay, so it's talking about Jesus, this guy who is rejected, who is killed unjustly. And then just look down at verse 10. It says, yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. So what's that saying about who wanted Jesus to be crushed? Well, clearly the people did, because they were doing this unjust execution of Jesus. But this is saying it was God's will to crush him. It was God's purpose to have Jesus killed. And that's why we say here, Jesus was excluded by God. Isaiah 53 is telling you and me what's going on when Jesus died on the cross. Because when Jesus died on the cross, he shouted out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Not just, why have the Romans forsaken me, or why have the Jews forsaken me? No, he says, my God, why have you forsaken me? It was God who rejected Jesus. It was God who excluded Jesus. Now, just pause on that for a moment. God rejected Jesus. God excluded Jesus from his love. Now, the pain of exclusion and rejection, the degree that it hurts you, depends on how much you loved the person before they rejected you, yeah? So if someone comes to you, you get a letter from someone over the other side of the world and they say, I reject you or I exclude you. I've never had such a letter. But if you did, that would just brush off you, wouldn't it? You'd think, well, I don't even know the person. So it doesn't make any difference to me. Contrast that massively, obviously, with something like divorce, where someone who has gone from loving someone says, actually, I don't want to be with you anymore. Now, the pain of that kind of rejection, that kind of exclusion, can last someone a lifetime. Now imagine Jesus, who has had an eternity, stretching back in the past, an eternity of perfect love with his Father. I mean, even when we love someone wonderfully well, it's not perfect love. Jesus has experienced perfect love for all eternity. And then on the cross, he receives God's rejection, God's exclusion, God's anger poured out on him. It has gone from a relationship of perfect love to perfect hate. Now, just imagine the degree. If we know what it feels like to be excluded or rejected by someone who loves us, some of us here know that really, really well, and it is very painful. For Jesus, it was infinitely more so. That was the stab to his heart, was his Father's rejection. And the verses in Isaiah 53 tell us more as to why God rejected him. Just look back again. Second half of verse 8. For he was cut off from the land of the living, for the transgressions of my people he was stricken. Now, this is a truth that we've looked at many times before, but it's so essential, isn't it? When Jesus dies on the cross, God rejects him, God excludes him from his love, because all our wrongdoing, all our iniquity, all our transgressions are placed on Jesus. Do you want to see what it looks like for someone who is impure to enter into the presence of God, to go into the lion's den? Do you want to see what it looks like? Look to the cross. Jesus dying in agony there, experiencing the anger of God, that's what it looks like. And the thing is, the Bible tells us, each of us will enter the presence of God. We will all go in. And the question is, are you ready? I sometimes have dreams. I know this is getting back into a therapy session for me. But I sometimes have dreams where, you probably do too, where you're not ready for something. Yeah, you're not ready for the exam. Wonder whether you had that one. If you took exams this summer, maybe you had that as a parent thinking, oh, my child's not ready, and you're dreaming about them going in. Maybe you dream about, I've done this before, dreamt about where you've got to go out on stage and you haven't learnt your lines, and and it's frightening, isn't it? You wake up in cold sweats, you go, not ready. I know there are some people who have woken up in cold sweats because they know they are not ready to go into the presence of God. And we will all go into the presence of God. But here's the great news, isn't it? Jesus was excluded by God. End of the sentence. So you can come in. Jesus was excluded by God, so you can come in. And the Ethiopian eunuch grasps this. Turn back with me, would you, to Acts chapter 8, so page 1102, 1102. So Philip explains to him all about Jesus. And the eunuch asks a great question. Verse 36, page 1102. As they travelled along the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "Look, here is water. Why shouldn't I be baptized?" Now, do you see in the context, actually, that's a big question, isn't it, for this Ethiopian eunuch? Why shouldn't I be baptized? You see, because the Old Testament said you weren't allowed in. In fact, Ethiopian eunuch, there are quite a few reasons why you can't come in. You're an Ethiopian. You're a eunuch. You can't come in. And it's like the Ethiopian eunuch is saying, look, do any of those barriers still stand now? Am I all right to get baptized, or should I not? Because I'm still a foreigner, I'm still a eunuch. Am I all right to do this? And Philip just goes ahead and baptizes him. Does it exactly the same way as was done for those who believed in Jerusalem and those who believed in Samaria. It's exactly the same. And so Philip is saying, no, there's no barrier. Not because the barriers weren't real. It's not that God is now saying, oh, forget about them. Who cares about those barriers? Oh, that was a mistake. No, but rather because God has broken down the barriers, because Jesus has shattered them. And now the Ethiopian eunuch can come in just as much as anyone else. And the Ethiopian eunuch is a picture of you and me, isn't he? That we weren't allowed in because of our sin, because of our impurity, but Jesus was excluded by God so that you and I could come in. And our joy as Christians comes from knowing that we can come in because Jesus was excluded. It's not because we're bold. It's not because we're like Nicola Adams saying, I'm going to come into God's presence no matter what. We would die. We couldn't cope with that. But our joy is that Jesus was excluded so that we can come in. And we know his resurrection proves it was successful. We can have confidence to enter God's presence, to enjoy God's presence. The Ethiopian eunuch went away filled with joy. Philip disappears and reappears in Azotus. There's no comment on that. It just seems like God just goes, yeah, I don't want him there anymore. I want him over here. And he is. That's the way it, I mean, it's just, there's nothing else about it, is there? It's wonderful. It's just, oh yeah, okay, God can do that. Of course he can do that. But the eunuch goes away full of joy, and so should we be. Now let's just apply this very quickly to our sin, our sufferings, our sin, and our society. These are quick. Our sufferings. Okay, apply this to your sufferings. Jesus was excluded by God so you can come in. That means our sufferings, your sufferings, are not an indication that God is excluding you. Sometimes we do that, don't we? We think, oh, well, I'm going through a terrible time now. Surely that is God saying, what have I done, we think? What have I done? I was listening to the cricket commentary. If you don't like cricket, stick with this, all right? It's the best of sports, and you'll learn to love it. It'll be there in the new creation, because all perfect things will be. And you'll love it, because you'll be made perfect too. So I was listening to the cricket commentary, and they would say, the guy called Stephen Finn was bowling, and he bowled over after, in fact, he bowled loads of overs, over several matches, and not got any wickets. But edges were being taken, catches were going up, and people were dropping them, and, you know, it was. And Graham Swan, who was on commentary at the time, said, at times like that, you start to ask yourself, what did I do? What have I done to deserve this? You know, I mean, I'm good. He even said this. I help old ladies across the street. I phone my mum once a week. What have I done to deserve this? Now, we do that, don't we? If something's not going well, if our lives aren't going the way we want them to, if things are really difficult, we actually do say that seriously at times, don't we? We say, God, what have I done? What have I done to deserve this? And we can think, I've been excluded. God, you're against me. Apply this to your sufferings. You see, Jesus was excluded by God so you can come in. So your sufferings are not an indication that God has rejected you or has excluded you. They are not that. They cannot be that, because Jesus' death guarantees that they are not. They must be something else. Now, we could go into what those other things are. There's a whole load to talk about on that. But we must apply it at least this way. My sufferings are not God excluding me from his love, if I'm a Christian. They cannot be. Let's apply it to our sin. Jesus was excluded by God, so you can come in. In other words, he was excluded to deal with the big barrier, the great barrier that stops us coming in. In other words, our sin. Now, the problem is we can then think to ourselves, my sin is still a barrier because it's still in my mind. It's still in my memory. I still feel guilty about it. And so we think, I can't come into God's presence because that barrier is still there in my thinking. I just cannot come in. But do you see that if we say that, what we're really saying is, Jesus, your death didn't actually achieve what you think it did. Because my sin is still on me. My sin is still a barrier. I still can't come in. And Jesus says, your sin should be a barrier. Oh, yes, it should be. But I have smashed that barrier. I have demolished it on the cross. How dare you say that your sin stops you from coming in? I died so that you could come in. And so with great joy, we do come in, humbly, knowing we shouldn't be allowed, but we can. And we can call God our Father, because that barrier is broken down. Our sufferings, our sin, our society. It means we as Christians, as we look at society, as we look at the people around us, we should have great empathy for those who socially are excluded, shouldn't we? Because we know, spiritually, in a far greater way, that's where we were. And so those who are socially excluded or excluded in other ways, we should have empathy with them, and we should particularly be reaching out to them. We should reach out to everyone, but we should have a particular yearning for those who've been excluded. Yeah, the first thing they need, the biggest thing they need, is to know about Jesus, that the barriers have come down so that they can come in. And lastly, if you're not a Christian today, can I ask you, what's stopping you coming in to God? Because actually, the only real barrier, which you couldn't deal with anyway, and nor could I, has been removed for you by Jesus. And it's essential to come in. But what's stopping you from coming in? Because there are only two ways we can enter into God's presence. To face God unprotected with our impurity still on us, which is a terrifying prospect, entering the lion's den with the result of an eternity of exclusion from God. Or we can come in with confidence. Coming to our Father, not pointing to ourselves, but to Jesus. Trusting that he was excluded by God, so I can come in. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we praise you that you went to extraordinary lengths so that we could not be excluded, but could come into you. You went to the extent of Jesus dying for us, him being excluded, so that we can come in. Father, thank you. This Ethiopian eunuch is a picture of us. And we pray that we would go away from here today, filled with joy, as the eunuch did, not because of anything good about us, but because of Jesus. Father, if there are those here who haven't yet received Jesus, haven't yet come in, please would you help them, please turn them to Jesus, that they would receive Jesus' death for them, and that they would come in. Amen.